Hello, nurse. Haha. I used to love anime when I was a kid. I wasn't really a kid either. I was like, what, a teenager? And low-key young adult watching anime yak? I don't know. But good morning. Welcome to another episode of the On Your Genius podcast. I am your host, Attorney LaKonya Murray. Very excited to talk to you today about copyrights because when it comes to intellectual property, I believe that trademarks and patents get a lot of hype. Like, people are really hype about those two things. They are learning about them. They are protecting them. But when it comes to copyright, I don't know. I just don't feel like copyrights get that same love. I also believe that people use copyright and trademark interchangeably as if they're the same thing, and they're not. So in your business, you're going to have both trademarks and copyrights, and there will be times that you will have some things that are both. For example, if you have a logo, if that logo is something other than text, if it includes a graphic of some sort, and it's also used to identify your brand or source of good or service, then you have a trademark for that, but then you have a copyright to protect the creativity, the graphic part of it. You may need both. So the question is, if trademarks and copyrights are different and a lot of people aren't really owned to copyrights, what is a copyright? Like, what's the big deal?
Welcome back to the Own Your Genius podcast, where we discuss building businesses, growing brands, and what else? Owning your genius. I'm your host, Attorney LaKonya Murray, owner of Off the Mark IP Solutions. Off the Mark is a boutique intellectual property firm representing innovative entrepreneurs, aka geniuses, who are looking to protect their brand and grow their business with ongoing legal support and business mentorship. We have a good one for you today, so let's get started.
So, first of all, copyrights protect original work, authorship, in a fixed, tangible form. And what that means is, by original, that means that it was not inspired or copied from someone else. And I wouldn't say inspired, I would say it's not copied from someone else. We have inspiration from everywhere, but what we're not doing is taking someone else's work and passing it on as our own. And I always give the example of, I don't know why I give this example, but I always give this example of Fresh Prince when he was, that episode when he was locked in the basement with Nia Long and he starts singing the song when she like starts popping off her nails and her eyelashes and her hair and stuff. He makes up the song, right? So let's say he's locked in the basement. At that time, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have cell phones, so they weren't live streaming this and putting it out for the world. Now let's say that someone else on another side of the country, or maybe even next door, same experience, right? Locked in the basement, writing a song about their experience, and when they come out, their songs are very similar because they experience similar things. But they both would own the copyright to that work because it's their original work. So authorship speaks to the person that brings the idea to life. So a lot of times we have these great ideas as business owners, and we need help executing those ideas. So if we hire someone to do that, so if we use this the same example, let's say that for Fresh Prince, well, he just wasn't that creative. He's just like, man, I really want to be able to articulate what I was feeling down there in that basement, but I just don't have the words. I just don't know, I don't have the words. I can't draw. I just don't know how to express it. Let me hire someone to help me express it, to help me get bring this thing to life. When he does that, because that person is not an employee, and depending on what that he hires them to do, and a lot of times this business owner, because this podcast is for business owners, as we're speaking about copyrights, I'm speaking about copyrights from the viewpoint of entrepreneurship. From the viewpoint of owning a business and just things that entrepreneurs need to be aware of when it comes to copyrights and their exceptions. So in this case, because he hired a third party who's not an employee, that person that brings this song or draws this picture or whatever it is, writes this book would own the copyrights to it unless there's a written transfer that says otherwise. The next element, we call these elements when you have to have these certain things to prove you have a certain type of something, in this case, a copyright. So we have original, we have authorship. Now we're going to talk about what it means to be fixed tangible. That simply means that it needs to be in a tangible, something that can be touched, even if it's briefly, in some type of tangible form, whether you have it recorded on a book, whether recorded in video or CD or album or something of that nature, that is a fixed tangible form, which is why when you say, man, I have this idea for something that you've never executed, it's just an unrealized dream, really. That's why it's not protected by copyright. That's why we tell you not to go sharing your ideas with everyone. That's why when you're pitching, you're being as vague as possible if you haven't actually executed the idea. When you're like, oh, I have an idea for a course or a program, and you're, you know, pitching different people that can help bring it to life, you don't want to be very specific about it, because copyrights protect the execution of ideas, not the ideas themselves. So if you have a speech, you write it down, your speech is protected by, when I say speech, I mean like you have a signature talk or something like that, that talk is protected by copyrights. But if you're just out there freeballing off the top of your head and it's not in any other form, it's like it's not recorded, you know, for some reason there aren't any cell phones in the room and you're just flowing and you're just teaching, like that's not protected. So keep that in mind. The things that are protected by copyrights, especially from a business point of view. So we're going to talk about your copy on your website, which is why, so website copy is protected, which is why no matter what anyone says, you do not go to anyone else's website to copy their copy, right? To take their words that they use to attract their people. That's wrong on so many levels, right? So right now we're talking about copyrights. It's definitely wrong on that level as far as copyright infringement, but it's also wrong with the fact that it's not your voice. So you're not going to be attracting your people. You're going to be attracting their people. And their people are probably not your people. So keep that in mind. I'm just saying. Also, your podcast. This podcast is protected by copyrights. You have things like books. We have a lot of people that are sharing their stories. And if they're not sharing their stories and their journeys, then they're sharing their expertise in a way that is relatable and reliable to the masses. So we have a lot of authors out there, a lot of first-time authors, a lot of authors who aren't first-time, but those books are protected by copyright. If you're creative and you're doing something like a children's book or illustrated book or a coloring book, those images, if they are original, are protected by copyright. So it's really pretty dope. So even your courses, your video courses, your workbooks, those things are protected by copyright. So when you have a copyright, the reason that you want the copyright, first of all, I don't know why, but people give creatives a hard time, like, oh, you want to be an actor, you want to be a singer, you want to be an artist, like you want to do these things that are creative, but you know, how are you going to take care of yourself? Which I think is crazy considering the amount of entertainment we consume as a people. I think that's bananas. I think that is really bananas. But anyway, the owner of the copyright, they have the right to exclude people from doing certain things, which is the beauty of intellectual property, is that when you own it, you get to tell other people that they can't do certain things, and if they want to do those things, then they have to come to you. So those rights are, they have the right to exclude people from reproducing, creating derivatives, publishing, performing, and displaying their work that they created. What that looks like is, let's say you have a podcast. What? A podcast? Say it's not so. Right. And you're protecting your podcast through copyright registration. And someone says, hey, you know what? I really like the content of that podcast, but I need to read it. I would like to have that podcast. I like to have that audio put into written form. They cannot do that without your permission. That podcast is so dope. I love the way they tell their stories. Wouldn't it be great if we turn that podcast into a movie or a miniseries or a web series? They cannot do that without your permission. So that's the purpose. And that's why copyrights are pretty big. Copyrights are great, especially in business, because part of what we do as business owners is we create. Especially nowadays, that's how we've been able to level the playing field in the world of marketing, where traditionally we've had to have, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars in order to compete in certain industries and to get our message across. Technology has made it so that with social media, we can just create content. We can write blogs. We can create podcasts. We can do reels and TikToks and videos and different things to get our message heard, or just to bring eyes to what we're doing. So we're always creating, right? And even before then, when we're doing the traditional sales, you know, I actually did a copyright for a client a few years ago who worked at a car dealership. Because, you know, before they had, you know, the internet and things, people were writing sales letters. And those sales letters should be original work. Their original work can be protected by copyright. And that's what we did for the client, because he said, oh, this letter is dope. I know it is because my competitors are trying to steal it. And so we registered as a copyright, and then we filed cease and desist, and he didn't have that problem anymore. But even with all these rights, you know, that you get as the owner of the copyright, there are always, as in life, always exceptions to this. And today we're just going to talk about some of those exceptions, and we're going to talk about those exceptions from the viewpoint of business owners. And we're not going to talk about fair use, because I've talked about fair use in the past. I want to talk about some exceptions that aren't commonly discussed or may not even be known. And I think that they can be something that you as a business owner should know.
Hey, genius. We're going to get back to the podcast episode in just a moment. But first, I need to ask you, have you heard of the Genius Insider program? The Genius Insider is our low-cost, high-value legal subscription program for innovative entrepreneurs who are disrupting their industry. Your monthly, quarterly, or annual membership gives you access to free consultations and document review so you can speak with an attorney before you put yourself in a janky legal situation. Your subscription also gives you access to contract templates and discounted legal services. Visit geniusinsider.co, that's geniusinsider.co, to learn more and apply. Now let's get back to our regularly scheduled program.
So the first exception would be the right of sale. So basically what that means is someone buys your book. You can't prevent someone that bought your book from reselling that book. They can resell it if they want to because they bought the book from you. They didn't license the book. They bought the book. It's theirs. So they have the authority without the copyright owner's permission to sell or otherwise dispose of that copy that they bought. Now, that does not mean that they have the right to make copies of the book. They cannot do that or create derivatives of that book. But they do have the right to dispose of it as they want to. So they can sell the book, or they can sell, technically, the course. They can sell the artwork. They can do that. They can't make derivatives of it. They can display it. They can choose. So if it's artwork and they bought it, they can choose whether they want to have it displayed in their home or displayed in the museum. And if they do that, if they have it displayed, they get to choose whether or not someone has to pay to access it because they bought it. But since we're talking about exceptions, right? There are exceptions to the exceptions in this case. So if someone is buying a sound recording or a computer program, they do not have the right to dispose of it by like rental or lease or lending if it's going to have a direct or indirect commercial advantage. Meaning if you're going to be paying for it, you're going to be making money off of it. You can't do it when it comes to sound recordings or computer programs. And that computer program can be in the form of like a disc or a tape or anything of that nature. What else they put those things on? What are those things called? USB. Which I don't even think people do that anymore. But in the past, they would have floppy disks, and they would have CD disks, and they would have VHS tapes and things of that nature. So that's the exception to the exception as it relates to the right of sale. But what does that mean for you as a business owner? As a business owner, I would say the first thing with this in mind is make sure that you are charging enough, right? Don't get mad when you see your book on Amazon for $40 and people are buying it and you chose to sell it for $12. Don't be upset. The other thing that I would say is when you're creating these programs, when you're creating these courses, consider using language that says that they have access to it versus ownership. Consider not selling them the course, but selling them access to the course. Just for those purposes, so that they don't have the right to let other people see it, to let other people borrow it, or anything of that nature. Now, if we're talking about courses, I want to get into this second exception. I think we're going to talk about three exceptions today. I want to get into the second exceptions because we have a lot of people that are creating courses. And actually, I believe it's, if it's not already there, it's on track to be like a multi-billion dollar industry because people are looking for alternative ways to learn without investing in college, or just because they need the help in some type of way and they need someone that can show them in a certain type of way. There's just different reasons that people create courses and courses are being very successful. So with that, let's talk about this teaching exception. So you have in-person and you have online, and the online exception is more limited than the in-person. So when we're talking about teaching in-person, the instructors or the students in a face-to-face teaching activities have the right to perform or display copyrighted material. Now, in order to do this, in order for this to apply to you, you have to be a nonprofit educational institution. And the activities have to be in a classroom or someplace that is devoted to instruction. And one final thing, the material that you're using, the copyright material that you're using, has to be real. Like, you can't use a bootleg or counterfeit copy. So for a lot of us who are creating courses, this does not apply. And the reason I wanted to bring it up, because I get it all the time, it's like, how do I use this in my course? And if I use this book, if I use this video, if I use this clip, if I do this, that, and the other, can I use it? And if I do use it, will I get in trouble? So unless you're a nonprofit educational institution and you're doing this in a classroom setting, then you're going to have some problems. And what they're saying about the copyright, you know, the copy that you're using, making sure that is like a legit copy, meaning that, let's say you're in a classroom and you're watching a movie. Well, the movie has to be, this brings me back, you remember buying the DVDs from the barbershop or from the hair store with the people, you can obviously tell that they're like recording the movie. They're in the theater recording the movie. Like, you can't use those type of copies. You can't use those type of bootleg copies and have this apply. You also have to make sure, this especially for the online, you have to make sure that whatever copyright material that you're using, that it stays there, that it's not stored anywhere after you use it. Basically, you have to be one and done. Like, use it and lose it. It's not stored anywhere. It's not being transmitted anywhere or anything of that nature. So keep that in mind as you are creating your courses. And one of the things, and I know I said I wasn't going to get into fair use, but one of the fair use exceptions is if you are actually commentating, providing commentary on a matter, on a copyright issue, like a song. We have all these think pieces now, right? It's like a song or something. You're able to use those, that copyrighted material, but it's limited to what's necessary in order to provide the commentary. Like, you can't put the lyrics to the whole album and you only want to talk about one specific part. And that's the other thing, that as far as the online exception, is that you're only able to use what's necessary to teach the lesson. I just want to make that clear, that just because you have a course, it doesn't make you an institution that qualifies for certain copyright exceptions. Now, speaking of nonprofits, y'all like how I'm tying this in. Speaking of nonprofits, I want to make sure that we talk to our nonprofit people, specifically our nonprofit that help people with disabilities. So it's not an infringement for authorized entities to reproduce or distribute, here in the United States, copies of phonograph records of a previously published literary work or of a previously published musical work that has been in a fixed form of text or notation. Meaning that, right, that's a lot of legal terms, right? So what it's basically saying, that if you are a nonprofit organization or a government agency who has a primary mission to provide specialized services relating to training, educating, or adaptive reading, or information access needs of the blind, of other people with disability, then if you have, I'm just going to say, To Kill a Mockingbird, because we just purchased that because the kid has to read it in school. Right, you have To Kill a Mockingbird, but you need to have that in a form that someone with disabilities can consume. So if you're a nonprofit organization or a government agency that has the primary mission to provide this service, this training, to people with a disability or blind, and they need access to reading, and you need to basically change the format so that they can have access to it, you can do that. And it's not an infringement. And that's if the person that you're doing this for is blind or has a visual impairment or have reading disability that cannot be improved to give visual function, meaning that they can't put glasses on and it's like, oh, I can see, or something of that nature. So again, those exceptions that we've talked about the right of sale, we talked about the teaching exception, And we also talked about the persons with disabilities exception. Now, one of the things that you should know about copyrights is that unlike trademarks, they actually expire. So a copyright is going to expire 70 years after the death of the author, unless it is a corporation, and then it's like 120 years. And that's if the work was created after a certain point, I want to say 1977, and they were written by a single author, that copyright is going to expire 70 years after the author's death. If you have multiple authors, then it's going to expire 70 years after the death of the last surviving author. And if it's a corporation, then it's 120 years. And part of this, just a little fun fact, a part of that is due to Walt Disney. He did a lot of lobbying as related to copyrights, so that he can keep control over the work that he created longer. So some of those things are actually getting ready to go into public domain. And public domain is when the copyright expires, then the public is able to use it. That's exactly what it means. So we're able to use those things without the copyright owner's permission. So an example would be The Wizard of Oz, the original Wizard of Oz. So The Wizard of Oz was originally published in the 1900s, and it was called The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. Now, when it went to public domain, a newer version came out where it made some changes to that original copy. He was able to make a derivative and make some changes to it and republish it. Now, when you have things like that, what that means is that the original work, which is in public domain, is still in public domain. The changes that made it a new work, those changes are now protected by copyright. But again, you just need to know information like this, especially as a business owner, so you will know how to protect your intellectual property as you move forward. And even as you're creating it, as you take it one step back, as you're planning what to create, you know what steps to make and what things you need to do in order to make sure that you're protected and where you should invest and where you should not invest. So if you found this information useful, let me know in the comments, share it with a friend, and make sure to join us next week as we talk about how do you screen an attorney? What 5 questions should you ask any attorney that you're thinking about hiring? All right, until then, you know what to do.
Let's take this conversation over to the Mark Legal community. I want you to share this episode with 3 people and have them meet you there. But you know what to do before you go. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and rate the podcast. Until next week, I want you to keep building your business, growing your brand, and owning your genius.